Well, the reason that I've never done this that I recall in writing a book, because I think it's a bit pretentious to do it, I don't make up terms. But in this particular case, there is Platonism, and that's the Greek philosophy that obviously the philosopher Plato expressed, but which permeated Greek thought. And that is that the body is bad, that the spirit is good, and that the body is a prison, and that one day the spirit will be released from that prison, and the spirit will be free, and only then will the spirit be as it should be. Well, that is in stark contrast to the biblical teaching that God created spirit and body, human body, to live together, to comprise a human being. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, if the dead are not raised, that is, if we do not have physical bodies forever, we are of all men most to be pitied. It's exactly contrary to Platonic thought. So, is our body cursed? Yes. Are our spirits cursed? Yes, we are under the curse right now, but we will be delivered from the curse. So the reason that I coined this term Christoplatonism is that there developed a supposedly Christian form of Platonism where verses of the Bible were taken and sort of connected to Platonic thought. And the early church fathers, among them, Origen, Philo was another one he wasn't a church father really, but who would take Christian thought and then weave into it Greek thought, but the two often were not compatible. And this is why people started not thinking of heaven as a real place. Because if you accept this Platonic idea that the physical's bad, then you wouldn't want to live in a physical realm, and you wouldn't want to be raised from the dead. So that's where the idea of Christoplatonism comes in. It's a Christianized, sort of a baptized form of Platonism. Is it really Christian? No, and that's why I don't use the term Christian Platonism. See, when I would say Christian Platonism, which is distinctly different than secular Platonism, then it would make it sounded like I was saying that Platonism had a truly Christian, legitimate form. So that's why I called it Christoplatonism, and it is basically just the belief, as I've stated, that the physical realm is bad, the body is bad, and that where we will live forever is in a realm that is spiritual and not physical. That is utterly contradicted by Scripture. The doctrine of the resurrection contradicts it. The physical Christ in his resurrection body, he says, touch me, handle me. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have. He ate fish, he ate bread with them. When he ate the fish and he ate the bread, the fish and the bread did not drop down to the ground. You know, like if he was a ghost or something. This is not Casper the Friendly Ghost. This is Jesus in a real, actual body. And was it the same body that he had had before? Yes. How do we know it was the same body, made, of course, perfect now? The scars in the hands, and there's also another way we know, and that is that if it wasn't the old body, but it was, and I actually had a former professor of mine tell me that he believed that the resurrection body was a spirit body that was not the old physical body, because the old physical body, flesh and blood could have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. So it's a brand new one. So I said, are you saying that you think that the body that Christ had when he rose from the grave was a body that had no longer existed, that was made for him new at that point? And he said, yes, I believe that. Then I said, well, then what happened to the old body? I mean, why isn't the old body still in the tomb? It's not a new body. It's the old body. And in Christ's case, I think the scars not only teach us a great lesson about the only permanent scars that will be, I believe, in eternity, being those of the Son of God who in essence went to hell on our behalf on the cross and then went to paradise after he died. But not only that, I think it was also God's way of saying, don't let some bad theology creep in here. This is the body. And this is continuity. And this body, right here, no longer insulin dependent, okay, no longer with its weaknesses and its frailties, this very body will be my body forever, but a perfected form of this body. This mind, the real me, you know, I will be there, you will be there. We, not just as we are right now, but with the memories. Then people say, well, we have memories in heaven. Well, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of all the things we have done in the body. We're going to have better memories, not worse memories. And if you want continuity, people sometimes say, I always am amazed at this because I've had Christians say this too. Well, you know, the resurrection is never talked about in the Old Testament. What? I mean, read Daniel 12 and the bodies being raised up in the last day and all of that. But just read the oldest written book of the Bible, most scholars agree, is the book of Job. Not the book of Genesis. The events of Genesis predated, of early event of Genesis, obviously predated Job. But in terms of when it was actually written, Job probably written in the days of Abraham rather than the days of Moses, so way back before Moses. Listen to Job crying out in his suffering, his agony. He says, oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. Good news, Job. We've got them. Amen. They're here. They're right here with us, and the word of God will last forever. Oh, this thing that he longs for that he thinks is so unrealistic is in fact true. But then he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. He lives now. Not just he will live one day. He lives now. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. Not simply, I will go up to live where he lives in heaven. He will come down to stand on this earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, after your skin's been destroyed, well, that's when you're dead, right? Your skin's been destroyed. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. You physically die, your body's deteriorating, your skin is decomposing, yet I know that one day in my flesh, in my body, I will see God. Now, is that a pretty clear statement about resurrection? I mean, it couldn't be clearer. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him. But Job, it's not really going to be you. I mean, come on. We're not even going to remember this life. We're not going to recognize our loved ones. We're not going to remember what's happened to us, which is pretty strange since in Revelation 6 we have the martyrs who have died. They're with the Lord and they're saying, how long, O Lord, before you bring judgment on those who murdered us? They remember they were murdered, for crying out loud. You know, if we can remember in heaven that we were murdered on earth, you know, because some people say, well, we couldn't remember any of the bad things. It doesn't get much worse than that, than that you were murdered. But after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him. With my own eyes, I and not another. I mean, that's three ways of saying, folks, it's really going to be me. The real me. In my real body. With my real eyes. Redeemed eyes. Eyes with perfect vision. I don't know. Maybe our eyes, we'll be able to see miles with our eyes. I have no idea. But I know they will be our eyes. And that we'll be in a perfected body. And then he says, how my heart yearns within me. He says, I can't wait for that day. And if you've read Job, you know why he can't wait for that day.
That's right.
He can't wait for his deliverance. And this is exactly as it should be with us. We should be able to taste it. We should be able to long for it. And it should motivate us to live pure and holy lives. 2 Peter 3, you know, it says that we look forward to a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And in that same context of righteousness dwelling, he says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, the earth will be destroyed, but then it will be raised to the new earth. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought, in light of the coming new earth, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, and are you? I've talked to so many people who aren't looking forward to new heaven and new earth, and we should be. Since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. What a motivation to live our lives today in a way that's pleasing to God, that honors him, in light of the fact that we'll be with him to his glory for all eternity.